Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
For many, many weeks now, we have been speaking about how to power your life by the grace of God. Again, remember, grace is when God is walking with you. Grace is the manifestation of the power of God in the life of the person who is just obeying simple instructions, following the basic principles of righteousness in life, and exerting or exercising his or her gift for the prosperity and blessing of other people. The person is just doing simple things, doing the things that he has a natural grace for, and the great results are coming out of the person's life. You said that person is walking by grace. Paul said, whatever you will become in life that will be something substantial must be something that came out of the grace of God. Or came out by the power of God, that it will be that is the power of God that begat all those great things in your life. And we say that is what grace is. And we have been seeing all of these things so that people will know that you can position yourself in a place where God begins to show favor towards you. And that is what actually is also known as grace. It's not as if just God gives you something that you don't deserve, but it means that God does great work by your hands. That is, you will say that Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by the grace of God. Paul became a great apostle by the grace of God. And you will be a great entrepreneur by the grace of God. You will be a great mother by the grace of God. These are the great things that God will do in your life by his power. So we say you are walking by the grace of God. And you can place yourself in a position where this thing floats towards you. Now, there's a natural grace you have, a place where God gave you a gift to bless your generation, and you have a responsibility to exercise it. If you're a teacher, exercise your gift. You don't have to be a preacher. You can be working in a secondary school blessing young people. You can be in a primary school teaching young people how to excel in life. And God said, when you are faithful in those little things, I will bring you to a position of prominence. I will bring you to a position of greatness. Four ingredients we have been examining that you put together to bring forth grace into your life or success. We said, number one, there is prayer. Everybody must depend upon God, and that is manifested in reality by the way they pray to God about the issues of their lives. And we said, two, you must resonate with God in your words. Anytime you are doing something, you must agree with God concerning where it is going to. You don't speak according to what has been. You speak according to what you want to be. Words are not supposed to describe the past. They are meant to create the future. And that's what we call prophecy. After that, we talked about the seed. And that's the current thing that we are talking about now, the seed. And your seed are those things materially that you put into life, that you put into your endeavor, that God will pour grace upon. Paul said that I planted, Apollos watered, but God was the one that poured grace upon our labors, and we saw great increase. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So those material things are what we call seeds. And I said that your seed buys two things for you. One, spiritual seed. That is, there are things you do. There are material things you are using to do them, but they beget for you a treasure in heaven. We read from Luke chapter 12, and we saw the importance of treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven does two things for you. One, it preserves your life while doing, number two, giving you treasure on the earth. We said that you can go and learn a lot of business principles. You can learn the principles of investment. If you do all those things, it really still does not guarantee anything. Because Jesus said there is what is called moth eating up, and there's what is called thieves breaking in and stealing. You can have an economic calamity. You can have a natural disaster. You can have a legislative error. You know a legislative error? They can make a law that will just spoil everything for you. But he said if you have a treasure in heaven, those things will not happen. That is, if you have a treasure in heaven, those things cannot touch it. And whatever be the situation in life, treasure in heaven will always bring for you treasure on the earth. And therefore, everybody that hopes to prosper in life, that seeks for prosperity and grace in his life, must ensure that he has treasure in heaven. And that's why I concluded last week by explaining about the power of generosity. You must be a generous person. You must be a cheerful giver. I wrote a tract titled Cheerful Giver, and I encourage us again to please go and read it. You must be a cheerful giver. Jesus said to his disciples that the way by which you get treasure in heaven is by your charitable giving. It's by giving to the work of the ministry. It's by giving to the spread of the gospel on this earth. It's by giving to people that you are supposed to honor. If I may just chip that one in. For example, you must give to your parents. Whether your parents are rich or not is not the issue. You must honor your parents. Jesus has said that it's very, very important that you cannot make the word of God of no effect by traditions. That things that you're supposed to use to bless your parents, you cannot just give it out. You go to church and you say that, they were sowing a powerful seed in our church. And the money I was supposed to give to my father as his allowance for the month, because now I'm the one taking care of him, I now give it to you as an offering. Jesus said that that is making the word of God of no effect. What you must do is that you must honor thy father and thy mother. And that is the only way by which greatness and blessing and grace will come upon you in the land in which you are seeking for prosperity. That is how your business will continue to do well and will not experience adversity. He said, he that dishonors his father and drives away his mother, he said, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. That is when he needs light the most. That is when he will have failures. People don't understand some of these spiritual things. I wrote a little book titled The Blessing. Please, I would encourage everybody to get that book and read it. In that book, The Blessing, I explain the power of the blessing of a parent. Do you forget my point? Your parents must bless you from the bottom of their hearts. And it's just not that they are wishing you well. That's not what I'm saying. It's that you came through and you showed yourself to be a blessing to them. Even if they are rich, you must still bless your parents. The words that they speak into your life, they affect you. Are you getting my point? Those are all the things that you call spiritual seed. Things you do to get that kind of blessing is a spiritual seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't ever deceive yourself that you say, my father has more money than me. Why am I wasting my money on him? Listen, when it comes to people that you are supposed to honor, for example, you are supposed to honor your father, you are supposed to honor a ruler, you are supposed to honor a man of God. Those are people that you don't depend on their poverty to give to them. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? If you go to the presence of a king those days until now, you don't give him because he's poor. You give him because he's a king. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, you don't give to your father because he's in need. You give to him because he's your father. If you have to dedicate one whole month's salary, all right, to give him a Christmas present, though he's a rich man, you have not done anything wrong. In fact, you have done something that is good. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? These are things that people do to get spiritual, to get treasure in heaven. So when you invest money like this, what you are doing is that you are buying up treasure for yourself in heaven. And this is how your treasure, your investments, your seed on the earth will begin to produce. That is when you will start obeying the laws of investment and they will work for you. Are you getting my point? That is when you will sow and then physically speaking, you will reap. You get what I'm trying to say here? Now, I established something last week that if you are praying to God for something, all right, you want God to increase your ministry as an example. Maybe I'm a preacher. I want God to increase my ministry. If I'm saying that, I must also be ready to put money into the thing. That if God gives me money from other aspects, as I'm praying, I must give towards the spread of that word. You get what I'm going to say? If you are starting out in business, you don't... Look, let me just say this one to you. Try and be careful in allowing outside investors to control your business. You will eventually have a problem. Even if people are going to invest into your business, make sure they have a small stake in it. The reason is because it's what you pour into that business that really powers it on. You are the one that God has blessed. You are the one that God wants to bless further. You are the one that has sown spiritual seeds. You are the one that's prophesying correctly. Therefore, you must control that business. And he who pays the piper, they say, dictates the tune. Are you getting my point? If other people have more money inside it than you, they will control you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? These are practical tips that we must understand so that the grace that God has poured into your life can flow freely in those spheres of business. What I'm trying to say here is this. You must be ready. Sometimes you may have to sell what is precious to you. You have kept these investments in stocks for years. It is time to liquidate them and pour them into your grace. Do you get my point? You have a car, you are driving a big car, what are you doing with it? Sell it and trek for a while and invest the money into your grace. That is your physical seed. Listen, until you pour for that kind of thing, do you get my point? You really will not experience the fullness of God's blessings. That is why I have noticed most of the greatest, maybe because I'm a preacher, so I lean towards it. Not even preaching anyway, every aspect of life. You see, most of the greatest people in life, you will see they have taken dangerous steps in life that brought them to prominence. Let me summarize it. You hear that maybe a great man will tell you that there was a time when he was starting out in ministry, the only thing he had in life that was valuable to him was his car, and they needed money in the ministry. So he sold his car to invest in that ministry. It's not as if he's investing money so he can get back. But God said, this man is serious about this matter. So God begins to pour grace upon him. Listen, when you see people being blessed in life, you don't know why they are blessed. Jesus said that what God rewards openly was done in secret. Do you understand my point? Oh, you see a man, he's investing. The other day I was reading about Richard Branson.
I realized that, look, in the early days of the business, the man was earning just as much money as the other people that were working for him. Do you understand? There are times he will sell virtually everything he has to keep the business going. What an employee would not do. That's why Jesus differentiated between a true shepherd and a hireling. Are you getting my point? It's your physical seed that you will use to show God that you are a true shepherd. You are ready to invest in your own business. That is why if you are praying for Nigeria, better be investing in Nigeria, because that is what gives potency to your prayers. Buy shares in the stock market. Are you getting what I'm saying here? These are signs, because these things, though I call them spiritual seed, they are actually also spiritually stating seed. That is, they are making spiritual statements. You pour forth physical seed into something. God said, I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. Are you getting my point? Listen, you may have the gift inside your heart. You are a gifted person in a particular area. God will give you an opportunity to invest your money in that area. All right? That's why they say you put your money where your mouth is. A lot of people who talk, they won't put their money there. God knows. That's why God never does anything for them. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. That is, that's the way it works. All right? That those are the things you use to show your commitment to God. Then God can now pour grace upon it. If something is not serious to you, God will not take it serious also. Are you getting my point? The other day I was teaching about being an entrepreneur. It's a spiritual thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, every Nigerian, everybody in life that wants to succeed, should have a goal in life to employ other people. Are you getting my point? Stop being content with sitting down and earning a good salary. It's not enough. You must have a goal, a dream in life to be able to employ people. Therefore, sometimes from the first salary somebody else is paying you, you will gather money together and go and invest inside the place of your calling. Do you get my point? So that other people can be there and they are working. There's a young man I knew. I think now he has resigned from his job, but then he had a good job. At the same time, he had a good company that was taking good contracts and he employed many young men. They were working for him there. He just saw no reason to resign the job he was doing because the other company, the company he founded, they had not grown big enough. But later on, when they grew big enough, he now resigned the job he was doing and faced that one squarely. Are you getting my point? I like one thing that SAP did for Nigerians. It was under the days of structural adjustment program that Nigerians understood that you can do two jobs. That is, they give you a salary for working from 8 o'clock to 2 p.m. What's wrong with the evening? Evening, you go and cook, open a small booker by the roadside and be working there. You know, sometimes, you know, we get so complacent in life because somebody is paying you enough. You don't realize that you have a responsibility to create more value in life. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? God expects all of us to create wealth. See, there's a difference between wealth and money. Do you understand my point? Money is just you have cash. You can buy something. Wealth is that you have created value. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? For example, you built a school. Now, people are going to that school. They are paying fees. From those fees, you are paying teachers. From those fees, you are paying the other staff that are working there. Many families are being fed. Young people are being educated. Even if at the end of the day, you don't go home with as much money as people observing from outside, I assume you are going home with. But at least you have created wealth. That school is wealth. Or maybe you're a doctor. You could take a job in America, you take a job somewhere, and then somebody is paying you very well. But you say, no, in my state, this particular specialty is not well developed. So you go to your state headquarters, start a small practice, build it up to a good level, and people who need specialist care in that area can come there. That's what life is about. What have you done? You have created jobs for young doctors, you have created jobs for nurses, you have created jobs for other support staff, and you are giving care to the society. Are you getting my point? That is how God blesses people. People now say that hospital is good business. So it's not hospital that's good business. It's the spiritual side of it that somebody had in his heart that God is actually blessing. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Listen, this is how to make life better for everybody. Look out and say, what can I do that people will be blessed by? What can I do that somebody will come there, take a job, at the same time will be outputting a product that will be blessing to society? But I hope you're getting the point I'm going to make here. So when you begin to do things like that, at the beginning, listen, it will cost you precious money. That's why I said in Psalm 126, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. Your friends are building houses. You are building a business. Your friends are driving flashy cars. You are building a small business. Do you understand my point? And you cannot even guarantee a high return on it yet. But you know it is something I must do. People will be blessed by it. People will have employment there. What you have done is that you have created wealth. It is to the likes of such people that God pours forth grace. Do you get my point? Then government suddenly will begin to make legislation to favor their businesses. Why? Because they sow the seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I mean by your seed. These are things you put in place. Part of your seed is that you have already put structures in your mind. You are doing everything physical that you know should be done to make this thing work well. Because, you see, let me tell you something about God. I said something earlier. If something is not serious to you, God will also not take it serious. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you're asking God for great abundance, he said, go and sow your seed in that area. You follow what I mean? Now, when you have done that, you have put all the structures in place, and you have done all, and you keep on wetting your seed with your prophecies. Do you get my point? That is when God really can begin to pour forth the real grace to bring great results. Now, there's something I want to explain here. Because the next stage after seed is what? The stage of rest. If you read in the book of Genesis, you will see that after God created the heavens and the earth and created everything, in Genesis chapter 2, we read that the Bible said that on the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested from his work. Now, what I want to bring out here again is this. Did God rest because he was tired? The answer most certainly is no. What did he mean when he said God rested from his works? What it means is that God had done everything necessary. Are you getting my point? The only thing that will carry things going on now are those words of blessing that God blessed the creation with. He blessed the animals. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. He blessed Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Now, what am I trying to say here? God had put everything in place he was supposed to put in place. Therefore, he was able to rest. Now, I will not speak so much about the matter of rest, but because then when we're talking about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures, I explained that matter of rest in detail. I explained it very well. Therefore, I will not say much about it at this point. But I'm bringing this issue of rest up here again to highlight that issue that when you have done everything that you know to do, and that's what we're talking about, you have prayed about the work. Are you getting my point? You are constantly prophesying about it. You have given your material seed towards it, and you are a generous man, you are a cheerful giver, you are somebody that has treasure in heaven. You get to a particular point in which you say, if God doesn't bless this work at this point, there is nothing more I can do. Do you understand my point? That is the stage of rest. But this is something, another thing about rest I want you to understand. Rest is actually a state of mind in which a man does something because he must do it, not because he's chasing after gain. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, I'll give an example about the young man maybe who decided to go and build a specialist hospital in his state capital. He will do it not primarily because he wants gain, but because he feels that my people should have this level of care. Do you follow my point? It's only when you have that attitude. Do you remember I said last week that all these things work hand in hand. The same time you have a prayer in your heart, you are prophesying, you are sowing your seed. And that there's an attitude of rest. Rest for the believer is not just a day, but that might be a part of it. There are times you have to physically rest. But rest is a state of the heart in which I am doing this. He said, what if you lose money? He said, but the purpose for which I am doing it will have been served. Do you get my point? Listen, it's when a man does things like that, it's when a woman has that attitude that God really pours grace upon you. That is, you now begin to get results even though you are not striving for those results anymore. You have done everything that you are supposed to do. God is now the one working and bringing forth great results on your behalf. There are times in life, you see, everybody will look and say, why is this guy doing this? Let me explain what I'm trying to say. The young man has a good job. And one day he says he wants to resign. And people say that, this guy is not wise. A bird in hand is worth two in the bush. But the man says, listen, this is the way it is. I've been working, I've been earning. But deep inside my heart, this desire, this craving to do this work has not departed. So what am I going to do? Keep on quenching the voice of my conscience for the rest of my life? I can't do that. So I take the money I have and I step into a new realm of business, resign from another one. Maybe I was working in a very big company, getting a very good job. I now leave and go and start teaching, maybe because I have experience in a small university or a secondary school or something. While freeing for myself a lot of time to be able to do what my heart really wants to do. Maybe I'm a fashion designer. Maybe I'm a musician. Are you getting my point? Or maybe I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. And God says, so go and start a work of the ministry for me. Whatever it is. Or maybe I want to go and build the type of business from which I have been trained in my state so that the young people there can have jobs. Possible. So people say, why are you doing this? Don't you enjoy the comfort here? He said, no, I am doing it as an assignment in life. Do you get my point? That is the attitude of rest, in which once I have done it, even though in the eyes of everybody, it is not succeeding as well as where I'm coming from, but at least I have done it. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Now, that is the attitude of rest. It is that you are seeing life as a responsibility. People say that if you go here, you get more money. Like a friend of mine said the other day, he was there, when are you coming to join us? You know, because of his qualifications and his degree and everything, somebody in a big company said, why don't you come and join us? He looked at the guy and said, if I wanted your own job, I could take it. He said, but this month, let me show you the check I have signed to pay staff that feed at least 10 families. Do you understand my point? At the end of the day, he doesn't go home with as much money as the guy talking to him. But I'm feeding 10 families because of my investments. I'm feeding 10 families because of my labors. But you are feeding yourself. And I don't mean just dashing people money. I mean, I give people the dignity of labor. They wake up in the morning, they say they are going to work, and I'm the one that employed them. I may not be paying so great an amount of money now, but the day is coming when I will pay great amounts of money. Listen, every economy that has prospered in life has been built on the backs of such men. When you read about the great industrialists, that's how they were built. They are men who did things because they had to be done. Some of them, at the time they are doing all this for years, they are hardly earning as much as the next person in rank to them in that business. Are you getting my point? But they are what the Bible calls the true shepherd. They lay down their lives for the vision. They lay down their lives for the flock. Listen, it's an attitude. It's the attitude of rest. Listen, if you have all these things put together, then grace begins to flow. That is when suddenly people start making phone calls and begging him to get involved in businesses that he never even thought about doing. My favorite example, I want to just share that story again and I close with it. Mary Kay Ash, in that area, she's my favorite example. This is a story I want to tell you about her that will interest you. I've shared the story on air some time ago. Once her son came to her and said, there is a small business a friend of mine is starting. Do you want to invest some money in it? And she did, and she forgot about it. Then one day she went to church one morning, and the Spirit of God led her to pledge to double the amount of money they were raising to build their children's church. And that particular day, by the time they told her how much she had to come up with, it was about $100,000. While she was thinking about it, her phone rang, and her son told her that that investment we made some time ago has started yielding. And your own share in the profits in the first month is over $100,000. Do you get my point? That is grace led her to invest in a business she was not thinking about. But the thing that she's known for, the thing that she started, her cosmetic company, she started it as a marketing company for one single purpose, to give women in our society dignity in life. She wanted them to be able to have a career, to be able to earn money, to be able to support their families while still serving God and loving their husbands and generally having enough time for their children. And at the same time, being handsomely rewarded for their labors. She founded the company. After I read the whole story, I said that company was not giving her as much money as this small investment that her son told her about. Do you get my point? She founded a company on the principle of rest. For your information, I talked about spiritual seed and physical seed. Her physical seed was her whole life savings when she started that company. That is, she said, if this company collapses, I have to go back to working. That is working for somebody else. But God looked at it and said, yes, this woman has fulfilled all the things that I want people to fulfill. Therefore, he poured grace upon her. Not only did her company succeed, but other things in her life began to succeed. Which reminds me of Psalm 1. He said, on all that he does what? He prospers. That this man, in all that he does, he prospers. I hope you're getting the point I'm trying to make here. That is, when you have that principle of rest working in your life, what you therefore find is that the result that God always proposed will not come out of your life without your struggling. I hope you are getting my point. What have we said in all this series? What I've been talking about? I've been talking about how to power your life by grace. Listen to me, child of God. God wants to do something great in your life. I can't say this enough. And what God wants to do cannot be hindered by your society. The fact that you are a Nigerian has not in any way shortened the hand of God to bring about great deliverance. You know all that God is looking for? People who will walk with him and trust him to do great things in their lives. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Listen, God is not interested in those who are strong in themselves. He just wants those who will trust him that he can do something through them. For everyone that God sent into this nation and into any nation of this world, there is something specific that God wants that person to accomplish. God said, you cannot accomplish it except I pour grace upon your life. Therefore, you have to position yourself in a place where grace can flow towards you. Do you understand what I want to say here? That, listen, I want people to, especially young people, you are not disadvantaged. Listen, the greatest things you have seen other people do in this life, you can do beyond that if God pours grace upon you. Let me tell you what grace is. Grace means that David was not very strong, yet he killed a lion. David was not very strong, yet he killed a bear. David was not very strong, yet he killed Goliath. But why did God lift him up? Because the guy was willing to sacrifice himself for ordinary sheep that he was tending. When it was time to establish David, God gathered the strongest men in Israel. And they came down and laid down their strength before David and said, whatever you want done, we do it for you. That was how David was established as king. That is the power of grace. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say here. It's not that the man had the time to fight all the wars. Joab, Abishai, Amasa, all those people, they were the strong men of war. They were the ones that fought and fought and fought. Men who were at the risk of their lives go to fetch water for David. Why? Because God had poured grace upon him. Do you understand my point? Listen, what people are running to, looking for all over the world, God can create it by your hands in this your nation. It's a matter of grace. Listen to me, the white men, some your friends are trying to defraud. Those ones will call you and come and lay their wealth down at your feet and say, what do you want us to do in this nation for you? That's why I'm preaching about grace. You will succeed in life, but it will not be by your strength. What you need is faith. To hold on, don't agree with Satan that something good will not come out of your life. Never agree with Satan. When it comes for you to sow your spiritual seed, please don't withhold your hands. Bless somebody in your society. You don't have to bless people in church alone. Bless your street. Are you getting my point? Put a free signboard somewhere for somebody. You get what I say? Just be a generous man. Sow your spiritual seed, knowing that one day God will most certainly pour forth grace upon your work. Sow your physical seed. A time will come that God will demand you to pour forth something that is precious to you so that he can pour grace upon that thing. Listen, God wants to start a business by your hand. You need boldness. Don't let Satan scare you. Do you get my point? Start a small business that God can pour something into. Sometimes people who are praying for the blessings of God, God says, how do I help you? You have a salary job. Do you want me to tell them to promote you above your boss? I could do that, but do you want that? Even you don't want that. He said, therefore, stretch forth your hand, sow a seed somewhere outside. Do you get my point? There is a grace I have given you. Invest in it. Then I can greatly multiply you on every side. I hope you have gotten the point I'm ready to make. All right.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.